Imagine Michael Jordan, Madonna, Wayne Gretzky, and Tom Hanks. Just like these greats of our childhood, two podcasting MVPs have risen like phoenixes out of Arizona to dominate the 80s and 90s hemisphere. So hold on to your plums, peaches, in fact, all of your fruits, and avoid all fancy goodbyes as we take an exciting look back at 2023 for our first ever recap episode. Happy New Year and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we will take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And we promise you're going to have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it is great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by the undisputed king of the Robsters. It's my good friend, Rob.
I really was hoping that the phrase Robsters would go away.
But, that will never go away now. It's in our lexicon.
Well, I thought this intro was fitting considering our next steps. You know, this is the first episode of our next...
Our second year,
right?
There you go.
So today's episode goes out to all of our listeners that might be doubting their next steps. Maybe you have a lover that is causing you tears. Some may have more cash than you, or others are taking a different view. You might be thinking, time asks no questions and it will go on without me. It will leave me behind if I can't stand the pace, or the world keeps on spinning and I couldn't stop it even if I tried to. We know it can be hard, but we want to give you some advice moving forward. 1, try and keep your head up to the sky. 2, release your fears. 3, stand up and can be counted. 4, don't be ashamed to cry. 5, listen to what your mother said. That's an important one, dude. 6, read the books your father read. All right. Try to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Sometimes the best part is danger staring you in the face. All right. If you walk away from today's episode hearing nothing, we want you to hear this. You've got to be bad. You've got to be bold. You've got to be wiser. You've got to be hard, but not too hard. You've got to be tough. You've got to be stronger. You've got to be cool. You've got to be calm. You've got to stay together. All we know is love will save the day. Dave and I want to encourage you to listen as your day unfolds and challenge what the future holds.
That is good. That's a deep cut. Not a song I would expect you to go extract lyrics from, but the lyrics are very fitting.
Yeah.
So good research on your part.
Yeah, there you go.
That might be the first time I've said that to you all year, but good research on your part. So, well, this is the first episode for us of 2024 and our official 1 year anniversary of this amazing pod. I know you like that. So I got that in there for you. And Rob, if my calculations are correct, when you tell us this week's topic, we'll all see some serious shit.
Oh yeah. Our recap show is our show today is our recap show.
I caught you off guard. Are you stumbled now? What's going on?
Yeah, some serious shit. Yeah. 2023 recap show. So we're going to talk about all things prior
from our last year of our show, our first year of our show.
Yeah.
So I can make references too. My reference throws you off. Your reference didn't throw me off. Right.
Back to the Future?
It is.
There you go.
When
we reach 88.
Yeah.
Serious.
Doc Brown in the house, right? So it was 12 short months ago. And as you said, this is our 2023 recap.
Yeah.
You kind of were all over the place. I'll sum that up for our fans. Our 2023 recap. 12 short months ago, I sent you a text message.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, I'm thinking I want to do a podcast.
You did.
And I said, I said, what do you think about doing a podcast? To which your answer was, ooh, that sounds cool. You'd be good at that, or something along those lines. And I said, no, knucklehead, I want us to do it together. And then you were like, oh, okay. And we were kicking around some of the things. And the first thing you asked me, you were like, well, long form or short form? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. So no idea what that means. We were texting back and forth, and I was like, well, I got a laptop, I got a microphone. Uh-huh. And you're like, well, it turns out I have a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. So you had microphones.
Yeah.
You had a recorder. Yeah. Well, you had all this stuff.
I had this, dream, right, that I was going to start a podcast at my last school. And so I dabbled in podcasting with some at the school with my kids, with my students. And so I had some of the stuff and I'd done some of the legwork. And so when you asked, it's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Cause that's what I wanted to do. It was hard creatively to do it with a bunch of elementary school kids.
Yeah. It took me 2 days to send that text message because I kept thinking, what if he says no? And then I don't have anything I can do. No. So, and I didn't want to do it by myself because for all you solo podcasters out there, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But for me, being a solo podcaster feels like it's not something I like to have. I like to be able to bounce off someone else.
No, and I think I'll probably say it more times. I might say it multiple times today, but I think the thing that has been cool about this project is that I think you take either one of us out of this equation, and I don't know that it works.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? So I think
what
we bring to it is we each bring our own thing to it. And I think
we definitely bring our own thing.
Me by myself would be awful content. And
no,
and you by yourself would, you know,
be awful content.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but
no, it is 100% disrespectful, but I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
So, I looked back on my text messages that I sent to you as the old person I scrolled through forever. And this was an exact text I sent to you. I said, because you asked about, you know, doing it or why I wanted to do it. Uh-oh, he's dying over there, folks.
Sorry.
And I put, just to have fun. I love music and movies and stuff from the 80s and 90s. So it'd be great to just BS with you about it.
Right.
And if a few people listen, cool. That's what I said.
I do remember that. And somewhere I should have taken a screenshot of it, but We were really excited about how many people listened to the first one.
I remember we sent the first one out and you...
we got like 10 people.
And you're going to die over there. And you were you told me it was like 10 or 20 people listened and in the first couple hours.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then we were shocked. It wasn't too long later. We had 150 or something. We're like, what in the world?
Yeah. So it was great. So whoever you first 20 were, thanks.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Yeah. That first shot right out the gate, he really inspired us.
Now, so. did you think it would take off like it did? We always want to go into things with aspirations, right? Yeah. But realistically, did you think it was going to?
I just honestly had no expectation because I didn't know anything about it or what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I told my wife and I told you, and I was honest at the time. I'm like, if 10 people sit down and listen to me for an hour, you, I mean, I think that's a win, right?
Right.
And I was like, we just put this out and we'll see what happens. Yeah. It doesn't matter, right? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right.
And I said, the most important part I thought was that you and I were having fun.
Yeah.
So as long as we're having fun, if we can share that with everyone else, that's all I cared about.
Yeah. And I think we hit that mark, right? Because if I get any feedback in person, people that I know that I run into in real life, and they go, oh, hey, I listened to your podcast, almost every time they will say, it sounds like you guys have a good time.
Well, yeah, if you read our reviews. Like,
that's what we wanted.
If you read our reviews, that's in there. It's like listening to two old friends talk.
Yeah.
One person put my two uncles, so I'm assuming they're younger, but still a great review. I appreciate it. So, the first thing I said was, I remember I told you, I said I had a name for the show. And you were like, well, what's the name?
Yeah.
And so my first name I had, because I had written this down.
What was it?
Because I was combining things. So I've got, you've got Gen X.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing a play off the AOL, you've got mail.
Yeah.
So I got, you got Gen X. And you came back and go, that's not bad. And then not shortly after that, you came in. If you look at the text, we volleyballed back and forth with totally. And I was like, well, let's get the word totally in there because that's very 80s.
Uh-huh.
But I will give you credit. You came up with the full totally 80s and 90s recall. You put all that together.
No.
And I said, nope, that was it. And as soon as I saw it, I said, that's it. So,
okay.
And you designed our logo.
I did.
Like the day we made the name, you sent me the picture for the logo.
Yeah. Like that stuff.
All that came together very quickly. So
it did move very fast because I have my timeline here. So that text was December 18th.
Yes.
We recorded before the end of December.
Yes.
We had the first one in the can into December.
We recorded within 10 days of deciding on text we were going to record.
Yeah. And then we released the first episode first week of January. We moved into our new studio in February. And then...
Did we really? Was it in February?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that quick?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my dates on my I looked back at my pictures when I was building
them. Yeah, you're probably right.
That's when we started building it. And so it was February. It was in February at some point.
Yeah, because for all of you that have been with us for a while, you know that we come to you. And if you see it on YouTube, we come to you live from our 80s, 90s recall studio. But the first month and a half, we were just in an extra bedroom in Rob's house. And we sat at a little card table. We could reach out and like touch each other's noses if we wanted to. It was very confined.
Yeah.
And we used to have to, he used to have to threaten his kids in there. Hey, we're recording. Nobody run up and down the hallway.
I would open that door and yell, recording. And then my kids knew and my wife knew to keep it down.
So. And then we, you built this, you took part of your garage and built this and then we moved in.
Yeah.
So it's been our space. It's our safe space.
It is our safe space. Yeah. I do. I like coming out here.
Yeah. And then we just started putting things together. You were like, well, what's the first episode going to be about? I was like, songs of 92.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what do I do? I was like, pick 10 songs. Like, I kind of had a structure, but as we've seen throughout the year, my scripts and my structures have changed multiple times.
Which I think is the cool part. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. I think it'll come up. But I think I like the creative process. I don't know that I'm good at being creative, but I like it.
Yeah.
And so I like the process of doing this. And I think there's a messiness to it that I like. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you put out content that may not work. And sometimes you put out content that kills. And
so I'm biased. I've re-listened to all of our episodes, which starting from the first one to this one,
yeah,
a lot different. But look, folks, you can tell me different. I don't have a bad one in there. There's spots where I think we changed some things and it flowed a little better and where we got more comfortable as the year went on. But for the most part, the topics we chose, I like all the topics we chose. Yeah. I wouldn't look back and go, I wouldn't do that topic again. I liked all the topics.
Oh, no, there isn't a single episode that I listened to all of them to prepare for this. And I think there isn't an episode that I wouldn't, if somebody put me on the stand and asked me to, you know, critique or put down an episode, I wouldn't be able to. I do things differently?
Yeah, we did one, and only our direct families know this now, but episode 2.
Oh, yeah. I have that
which,
right here.
Yeah, which was 80s sitcoms.
Yeah.
We recorded that, put it in the can, and then about a week later, we re-recorded it. And it's the only episode from all year that we re-recorded. So everything else was first take. What we got. But after we re-recorded that one, we said we were never going to re-record again.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we do on the first one, that's what it's going to be because that's the most original version.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to that one, and my wife even mentioned it the first time she heard it, she goes, it sounds like, because we weren't surprised by our picks. Mm-hmm. So we're having to pretend like that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't as, it didn't flow as well.
Yeah.
So that's the only one. The only thing I would say I would take back is I wouldn't have re-recorded that one. We should have just kept the first one we had. So,
And again, I think that's been fun.
But that was episode 2.
Is putting something out and then sitting down after it was done, gone. Yeah, we should have kept the first one.
Yeah, we should.
And I just think that's a fun process, and I like it. So,
right. Well, that brings us to now. That brings us to now. Now,
yeah,
now we're at now.
Now.
And now. Whether it's a booty jam being a thing, MC Scat Cat in rehab, or Arnold Schwarzenegger's famous chicken and rice dinner parties, we're going to rehash some of the crazy stuff that was the Rob and Dave experience in 2023. Well, for all of you familiar with this podcast, you know it's pretty structured each week. We have lists, we kind of go through back and forth, etc. However, for this episode, there's not a structure. There's a slight structure, but it's not like it usually is. I'm in charge of the outline scripts every week, but this topic doesn't have an exact direction to it. So it's going to be Rob and I kind of talking and going over the things of the last year. So if this is your first time finding us, this is not indicative of what our show normally flows like.
It's a really good point.
I would encourage you to go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. It would give you a better idea of exactly what kind of show we're putting together here. But Because otherwise, if this is your first time, this might seem a little strange.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? That's what are we talking about? Right. That's so, but for all you longtime listeners, all this should make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So if you're new, again, go find some of our old episodes. That'll give you a good idea. And then hang out with us for 2024.
Yeah.
Because I promise it's going to be fun. We got a lot of new good stuff coming up and it'll be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that is a really good point. Because there's a lot of material to cover. And can I give you some stats? So,
you love stats. Of course.
I do.
Give it to
us. So in general, in the podcasting world in general, these are some stats I pulled up. As of September of 23, there are around 3 million active podcasts. Spotify claims to have 4.7 million podcasts on its platform. Apple says they have 2.5 million. There are over 150 million podcast episodes. Half of all podcast episodes are downloaded less than 29 times in the first week. Spotify and Apple Podcasts are the biggest players in the podcast game, and the outlook looks like they're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really hot medium right now.
Hot medium.
But our episodes, we had 52 full-length episodes, 2 mini episodes, and 1 YouTube exclusive that you can only find on YouTube.
That's right.
2 episodes were recorded remotely. Mm-hmm. 1 episode was recorded virtually.
That was.
Yeah. There are 3,883 minutes of published podcast material that comes out to be about 65 hours of published podcast.
Nice.
And the average length of one of our podcasts is 71 minutes. So we had 65 hours of material kind of pick through and talk about. And but then you think about the time it went into create, write, organize, edit. You know, so there's a lot of man hours that went into
this. Are you trying to draw some sympathy from our fans about how much time we spend on this?
No. Well, I don't think it's sympathy, but I hope that comes through in our work.
Well,
right?
I hope
that
so too.
I hope people see that we didn't just sit down, turn on mics and just yak for 45 minutes. There was some intentionality on the writer's side. There was some intentionality on the editing side. Like, we didn't just cut and then upload. Yeah,
I think that comes through. You can tell it's not totally thrown together. So that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why.
So, but lots of stats. When we said we had nothing we would change, I will say there's one other thing.
Ooh.
We did do that remote episode.
Oh,
it was Love Songs of the 90s. Yeah. It was a mini episode. Mm-hmm. Great content in that episode. Yeah. I love the content, but we did have some audio issues.
Absolutely.
But we went on our thing of we're not going to re-record anything, and we uploaded it.
Yeah.
And it is our only, I would say, bad sounding.
Yeah.
Because it's got some sound issues on it. That's when, if I went back, I wish that would have been a completely clean episode, because there's a lot of funny stuff and good stuff in that. And there's some great songs in it.
Yeah.
So that one was one. And I know your wife was particularly unhappy with us early on for even putting that out, because she goes, it doesn't sound good, don't put it out. And we were both like, nope, let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I think we debated. I mean, we kind of went back and forth. Do we put it out? Do we not put it out? Do we redo it? You know, and it is, of all the ones, I think, you know, from an editing standpoint, I listened to it and I think we could fix some of it.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, maybe we re-release it one day.
That was the only one,
you know, but that was the only one.
Also, we did remote.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have our remote connection as good on sound wise that we normally do.
No, we were trying.
And so every other episode, you and I have been in the same room. And we made the pact that unless something weird happens, we're always going to be in the same room.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it
And that was a text early on.
Yes.
One of the texts you said early on, no, we're going to do it sitting facing together. Each other.
Yeah. So if that means if we have to front load episodes, whatever we need to do, we're going to sit because it just makes it different.
Yeah.
The remotes, you get the reactions are different and some other things. Yeah. So it was a good change. So, I told you we don't have a structure, but we do have a couple things because I am a structured person, so I can't just freelance all day. It won't make any sense in my brain. So I did get a couple categories, and then Rob and I have a couple, I think, fun extra ones.
Yeah, yeah,
so I think the first category I put, our top 5 musicians, that's a hard word to say, top 5 musicians or bands each of us have loved the most this year or talked about the most.
Yeah.
Right? So what I'll do is I'm going to introduce my 5. And we'll see what you think.
Okay.
And then you do your 5, and I'll see what I think.
Okay, that's fine.
And we'll go from there.
Okay.
We won't go back and forth. A lot of times, folks, we go back and forth, but we'll just kind of pop through these. So, and I have some audio, so we want to make sure that I see if I can get something ready here for you. But as I sit here in silence. I was hoping you would talk, but you're just going to sit there and stare. Well, kind of reminds me of our first episode.
That was our first episode.
Where you decided to
I think my opening line was, what do you want me to say?
Yeah. And I said, well, it's an audio medium, so you might just want to talk. Say hello. Do something like a normal human would do.
No,
so,
that was the very first line was.
All right. Well, coming in at number five for me, you know, it's one of my guys, one of my favorites. We got Peebo on the line. Two Peebos are better than one. Two Peebos make a right. You can't go wrong with him. I got the group text with him and JT. Everything works good. And so you just can't go wrong with Peebo. And he's been on, I think I counted five or six different times he's been highlighted and or talked about. Our text groups come up multiple times.
Yeah.
So Peebo's had a lot of attention this year. So you can't go wrong with Peebo.
Yeah, he's in my notes too, many times.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with him, right? So, well, that takes me, so good start. That takes me my number four band. I got Huey Lewis in the News. Many times this year, we've talked about how they are underrated. We've talked about how much we love them. And maybe when people remember the 80s or talk about great 80s stuff, maybe they don't get the attention that they should get all the time, right? I think you and we've had that conversation multiple times, so I thought it was fitting that they get onto my top five. So I put them at number four. I might have mentioned Peebo a couple more times, but I just love Huey Lewis, so he should be on here.
No, that's fair. Yep.
So
he did come up a lot.
Yep.
We had several 80s lists, and sometimes he had more than one.
Well, it seemed like he was always on every list we went to. So, all right. Well, number three, not something you're going to enjoy, but it is definitely one of my favorites. And they've been mentioned on, we can't even count how many times I've gone into these fools. So, you know, it's Chicago.
Yeah.
Right. And we've had the discussions about with Peter, without Peter.
Yeah.
It's all good. I made the stance early in the year. I love Chicago with Peter Cetera. I really like Chicago without Peter Cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they come in at number three for me because Chicago's amazing. That's it. And by the way, you comparing them to Creed is still a criminal offense in most states.
I will tell you, I ran into a guy at work. He's good.
He's good. Yeah, he's good.
No, I ran into a guy at work. who saw you, because we now work in the same same district. And so he saw you on campus and he said, he referred to you as the voice.
As he should.
Right.
I am the voice.
He said, he looked at me and goes, is that the voice? And I said,
that's
my buddy. And he goes, I said, what you need to do is you need to go, what could you tell him? Oh, go up to him and say, Chicago sucks.
He couldn't do it.
And he goes, I can't do
that. Can't do that.
And I said, why not? And he goes, because I like Chicago.
Because he's a normal person and no one would say that.
I was like, dang it.
Because Chicago doesn't suck at all. So, all right. So I've got Peebo. I've got Huey. I got Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Who could be at number two? I think you know who's at number two. So.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Roxette.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pop bands of all time.
She came up a lot.
So good. Well, it's not a she. It was a she and a he.
Well,
they're a group.
Well, and that's where I remember one time I asked you, I said in one of the episodes, I said, what's her name? And you went, Roxette.
Roxette. I didn't know her name. So,
then we found out, sadly, that
she did pass
away. She passed away. Yeah, I feel bad about that.
Her name was Marie Fredrickson, by the way.
I finally looked it up. We got to correct it.
But I said, I love their late 80s, early 90s sound, some of the best pop songs you're going to hear. I mentioned Roxette multiple times this year. I couldn't go without them. They're fantastic. I mean, what are you going to do?
Love it.
Love it.
What's your number two?
That was my number two.
Well, that is your number
two. So Roxette is my number two, right?
Yeah.
So who could be at number one, Rob? You take a guess and see if you can guess my number one before I play it.
I have two
samples.
Two?
My goodness.
Not Chicago. Not
Chicago was number three. Peebo.
That's going to be Nirvana. No, you didn't talk about them hardly at all.
No. Let's roll it and see if you can figure it out.
Steve Winwood. Wow.
Wow.
There is only one person that's been referred to as the Beast on this podcast this year, and it was Steve Winwood. And this is Valerie, for all of those that might know what it is, but that's Valerie. And in case you didn't think that was enough.
Oh, you did the remix?
He's got also, this got mentioned this year too, with Roll With It.
What was your number three?
It was Chicago.
Chicago.
Ebo, Huey, Chicago, Roxette.
That's a list.
And The Beast.
The Beast, that's dumb.
There he is.
That's dumb.
It's not dumb. He was.
It is dumb.
The only person on our podcast this year that was referred to as a beast.
As the Beast.
It's Steve Winwood. He's awesome. And that's okay. Those are my top five bands slash musicians that I talked about a lot this year.
Okay. Well, my five, I don't have sound clips for this section.
Oh, okay.
I have sound clips later.
That's fine.
Okay, but I'm going to read through them.
I'm an overachiever.
So my number five is going to fit a theme that I carried through a lot of episodes.
Okay.
And I'd like to say I did it as an act.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just me.
It's just.
And I didn't intentionally do it. So my first one isn't even a musician.
Oh, great.
Right?
Why would it be?
Right? It's Barb Hummel.
That. But the category said musician or band I most talked about this year.
I understand that. All right. But it was a little homage to. I a lot of times didn't follow your rules. So
this was a really easy rule to follow.
So I tried to find a way to not follow the rules.
All right.
So Barbara Hummel came up a little bit, and if anybody doesn't know, that was the late departed wife of General Hummel
from our
Caged In series. Or no, Rock series. Sorry.
Well, it was The Rock.
Yeah.
It was
the Caged In series, correct. But The Rock, the movie. Yeah, that is correct. So Barbara Hummel's my number five.
Okay.
My number four is MC Scat Cat.
Nice.
We didn't talk about him a lot. He came up twice.
He did come up twice.
But I thought the material that we did around MC Scat Cat was some of the most authentically funny stuff we did. And I felt like it was we caught our
voice
in that episode. And I thought it was really good. So number three was Tom Petty.
Yes, of course.
Only because he came up several times. And one of the first times he came up, I took some of the most flack.
Oh yeah.
Because I picked a movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's the One.
Yes.
Based strictly on the fact that I liked the soundtrack.
And you knew nothing about the movie.
But I couldn't say anything about the movie.
That is true.
And I heard about that. I still hear about that. So
you should hear about that.
And then number two was Weird Al.
Oh, yeah. Can't miss him.
I think right out of the gate, episode one.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I mentioned Weird Al.
You did.
And then for the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned him several times.
There's a scenario in 2024 as I look at our schedule going forward that we may have an episode dedicated to your boy.
Yeah.
So.
And that was, and I took some flack for that one for putting him on the list. And then number one, Bryan Adams.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I assumed he'd be on this list somewhere. Yes.
And
B.A.
B.A. You can't even say his name. Yeah. And in parentheses, I put parentheticals. He's an 80s legend.
Yeah, he's something. Yeah. Again, you throw that word legend around. I don't know if you know the meaning of it, but as a high school or elementary school principal, you should be able to know definitions.
Yeah. Well, and legend. Well, and some other ones I put, you mentioned Peter Cetera. Keith Sweat came up a lot.
He did.
Oasis came up a lot. And surprisingly, Scott Bakula came up more often than he should have.
I do like Bakula. Again, not a musician, but Bakula's good. Fan of the show, I think.
Yeah.
I bet he tunes in. So,
I don't think so.
So that kind of, for the most part, that gives us some of the musicians and bands we listen to this year with a couple outliers there for whatever reason, Bakula and Barb Hummel, not in that category. So another category I identified for us, I got a couple sound clips in this one for you too. Ooh. So I put our favorite five episodes from the year. So we'll do the same thing. I'll tell you my five. You can do your five. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. So my first one, no sound clip for this, but my number five favorite episode was episode number 18, our 80s cartoons.
Oh.
I really like that episode. Lots of fun. Ice-T talking about heart health, going from cop killer to, you know, pitching Cheerios.
Yeah.
He kind of sold out. I thought that was great. We had some bangers from the Gummy Bears, the Smurfs, Muppet Babies.
Yeah.
There was some really good stuff on that one. That's one of your first ones where you got a little... explored it with your editing process. Yeah. So episode five, 80s cartoons, my number five, my episode 18, 80s cartoons. Yeah. I really like that. Then episode 26, The Face Off from our Caged In series. I laughed more recording that episode than I think almost any other one we did. Yeah. And to be honest, Travolta and Cage in the same movie is still magic.
Yeah.
And so I just love that episode. I think mm-hmm. it's great. We actually mm-hmm. got a review on it about Face Off itself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty excited about that. Our number three episode, it was one of my first ones that I was exploring with as far as like a topic. I kind of just invented the topic myself and I wanted to see how it went, but it was our playlist of the 90s, episode mm-hmm. 14, where we selected songs for each year.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s that we thought the other person would like.
Yeah.
And you had a little difficulty with that one because you picked some weird songs. I don't remember. You picked some songs like this one right here. And you really thought that this was something I would just get right into.
Oh, this is...
This is MC I love this Hammer song. With Have You Seen Her?
Oh, we liked this song back in the day. Oh,
wait.
Listen again.
She'll be mine. She'll be fine. And it'll last. I mean, are you really hearing this? So that was a song you chose for me, but I love that episode 14 playlist of the 90s. My number two episode actually is our first episode that we did.
Crossover. That's songs, my number two.
Yeah, Songs of 92. I love it. It's our first one, so I got to have some love for it. It's not as clean as some of our other episodes because we were trying to figure it out. You didn't want to talk. There was a couple other things. In that episode that were interesting as I've re-listened to it a couple times.
It wasn't that I didn't want to talk.
I don't know what you're doing. So, also the first song, or second song, cause you had the first song, but my first song I introduced on this podcast. So to start this 90s, 80s podcast out, this is the song I went to right out the gate as my first song I was sharing with America and beyond. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
This is the first song I went with at number 10. First time I played a song on this podcast.
You're proud of that pick.
I still am proud. It's a great song. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It's the ice.
I was hoping you were kind of coming to the table and you were going to say you regret it.
Nope.
You have regrets.
It's the Heights. It's Jamie Walters. It was a number one hit for 2 weeks. It's a fantastic
song.
And
you're apologizing for it.
No? I was talking to a person, it was today or the other day, from another podcast that I listened to, Bad Movies Rule, and he made a comment or a line that I really like that I think goes to this. Mm-hmm. I believe what he said is, we were talking about a movie and he goes, it's lovable garbage.
Lovable garbage.
Okay. I really like that. So I credit him with that, but I think that's what How Do You Talk to an Angel is.
Yeah.
It's lovable garbage. Yeah. Look, I know it's not functionally a good song. I just like it. I enjoy it. What am I going to do? So I like to throw that in the lovable garbage category. Yeah. So
I like it.
And my number one episode, one of our most recent episodes, episode 50, A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
This is perhaps my favorite episode of the year. We found out that we all do a terrible Jack Nicholson impression. Rob beat a kid up dressed like Winnie the Pooh. And I coined what should be the new catchphrase, wet Santa thighs and no fancy goodbyes. So I like that episode. It's fun. It makes me laugh a lot. And that's so funny. That's it. So those are my five episodes of the year.
All right. Well, my five, also, I don't have any sound clips. I have some later, but my number five was the Billboard Hot 100 week of February 28th, 1990.
No.
It is our most downloaded episode.
It is.
That was MC Scat Cat. That was, and I thought we had a good time doing it. And it was our first episode where I thought, oh, this could, we got more like authentic and more relaxed and,
Well, and I believe in that one. Said that Sebastian Bach was the voice of a generation,
I think you said he's a voice of a voice.
I said that you said the voice of a generation. I said, well, he's a voice of a generation.
That's right.
He is a good singer, though.
My number four was the top 80s cartoons for the exact reason you picked. Because from an editing standpoint, I thought sonically it sounded really good.
It does sound
and we
good.
Had really good. Clips and so I just liked it. Number three was our hip hop CD mix.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I liked that one, and my notes just put I liked it. You were on your heels a little bit.
Yeah,
because that doesn't happen very often. You are very planned. You're very methodical. You know what you want, and so when you're not in control, you don't like that.
Yeah,
it's not your favorite place to be. And so then to give me control, which should scare everybody.
Yeah,
it should. That worried you a little bit. And
it was good though.
And it went the direction we you probably thought it was going to go. And well, maybe
actually,
you didn't.
Actually, no, it went way different than I thought. You were asking questions that made no sense to the show. And
even my own wife was like, why are you asking those questions? I could, because I had the microphone.
I told your wife afterwards, I said, well, we found out what happens if I give him complete control of the show. It might not make all the sense. Right. However, I do love that episode.
Yeah.
I love that remix CD.
Oh, the CD was great.
Feels like another authentic one because that's something we actually had. Yeah. So I like that.
Well, and the way you tied together making the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you hit it every time. Like, you were like, oh, yeah, what I'd do here is I probably would have done a this kind of song. And every time you were right. So it was pretty good.
You can say that again. Every time you were right. I can never hear that too many times. That's good.
Yeah, you are right a lot of times. Yeah. That's why a lot of times I just defer because you've got an idea and we'll let you run with it. Episode one is my number two.
Yes.
Because it's our first.
It is. Yeah.
And that's always going to hold a special place for me. But number one is an odd pick. I picked our mini episode, the 90s love song playlist.
Oh, wow.
Only from the perspective that I felt like that was a critical moment for us.
Oh, okay.
We had to sit and make a decision. We had to decide, do we put out material that might be a little subpar and own it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think podcasting is a really intimate medium. Like you're putting your voice out there to, you know, thousands of people. Like had a really good analogy. You said, even if we got 300 downloads, imagine sitting in a room with 300 people and talking to them. That's a lot of people.
It is.
So then to think, here, I'm going to put this material out to 300 people.
Yeah.
And know that I'm probably going to get some criticism for it. And we're okay with that.
Yeah.
We're going to learn from it though and move on. And so I thought that was a really learning moment for us. And I've had a quote here from Brene Brown. She's like a learning, like a self-help person. And she said, there is no innovation and creativity without failure. And I just thought that was that episode in a nutshell. We're like, nope, it was a fail in a lot of places. And would we do it again differently? I think that made us better.
Yeah.
So that's why
I still don't count it as a total fail because if you take the time to hear it, there's some really good stuff. Like there's funny stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Booty Jams was born that day.
Mm-hmm.
So some other things came out of that. Right. So, the chrysalis opened and a couple butterflies flew out. Okay. I channeled it like a fifth grade book report right there. So, all right. Well, so we got our top episodes, we got our top bands, and some other things.
Yeah.
So that takes me to another category I had put together.
And I don't know
so
this.
So these
one.
Are my top five questions about Rob. Oh, so when we started this, Rob and I know each other pretty well. But to be fair, as we've mentioned on the show, we spent a little more than 20 years kind of apart. We talked from time to time.
I'm going
to
cut you off. My wife yelled at me this morning. She didn't yell at me. My wife didn't yell at me. But she made a comment. She goes, you cut Dave off a lot.
I cut you off too, though. And Laurel's told me that the same thing.
And so she goes, well, you never let him finish. You say you're done and then you cut him off. And I was like, I think I probably do that. But then I said, it's because I can't get a word in edgewise. I have to, it's like growing up with a big brother. I'm like, I have to get it in where I can.
And
anyway, but I was going to tell you, no, you're not that bad. But you talked to, what did you say? Five things, questions about me?
Well, I have five questions. Yes. Yeah.
And I actually have a category, things I learned about Dave.
Oh, okay. So you learned, I just have questions. So again, we spent about 20 something years apart because I was in the Air Force and every time I came home, we'd visit or whatever. But I mean, so we did have some gaps of time where we had to fill in some blanks. So here's some things, you know, when you start an 80s, 90s podcast, maybe you should ask your partner a couple questions. I didn't do that. I made some assumptions that were my own fault. So in the future, I'll change that, right? So coming in at number five, not knowing essential 80s and 90s information at times.
Oh, this is true.
Let's see. You've never seen Back to School, which is insane. If you've seen Bloodsport, you're not remembering it, and or you may have only watched it once, which again, as a 40-plus-year-old man, I don't know how that happened. Not seeing Cocktail? I mean, come on. This is selecting – you said it earlier. You selected a movie you've never seen or don't remember, but it had a great soundtrack. So – that's on an episode where we're ranking our favorite movies, and you went with one that you didn't even... I said, tell me one plot point in that movie. You couldn't bring up anything. So that was an interesting question, number five. Number four, constantly breaking simple rules of putting together a list. on our love songs episode, you chose a song, and you said at the beginning of the introduction, this is not a love song. I said, well, it's love songs of the 80s. Yeah, but listen, I got a reason. I'm like, okay. I mean, it was a simple, like, it was a simple task.
Yes, that's true.
Insane movie character choices, using the wrong week of a Billboard chart. You know, okay. We have the week out there, yeah. And you just kind of wander off.
I have an excuse for that, so, but yeah, it's not a good one. Yeah. So, yeah.
Number three, the scenario where you say, I don't really have anything else, to then have anywhere from 400 to 700 more pages of information. We have a lot of fun with it. Kurt and I, the movie hound, we give you crap. The boys in the booth, they just shake their head every time. Kip just is like, he knows what's going to happen. Yeah. He's always clicking his watch, but you just run off. It doesn't matter. You know, he gives me this signal a lot because you can't see him. He's behind you. Yeah. So he does this and I say, I can't do anything. He's just going to go. Right. So there's nothing I can do. I can't stop him, but I don't want to stifle your creativity. So I let you wander around and I let you have a good time. So number two, you mentioned already, but I got Weird Al. On our first episode, I want to phrase this outright. Okay. On our first episode, we were to rank our 10 best songs of 1992. You looked at all the songs available in 1992, and you decided that one of the best 10 songs from that year was Smells Like Nirvana from Weird Al. Here's a couple songs you omitted in favor of this. So What You Want from the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Man on the Moon from REM.
Yeah.
Plush from STP.
Yeah.
Hey Jealousy from the Gin Blossoms. That's just four random songs that came out in 92 that you felt smelled like Nirvana was better than. Oh, and there were multiple Nirvana songs you also could have chosen from the actual band.
Yeah.
And you still decided, nope, first show, first countdown, Weird Al has one of the 10 best songs I heard in 1992. I found that to be a little interesting at the time. So, and if you listen to that episode, I make a good point that really choices you had, you chose Weird Al. So, and number one, everyone knows, you mentioned it. It's BA. You've called him an 80s icon more than once, which is problematic and insulting, not only to the 80s actual icons, but just the 80s in general.
Yeah.
I've already been on the record with this. He is definitely nowhere near the 80s Mount Rushmore. He's taking tickets across the street. He's picking up trash.
You did say that.
And he directs you to the other side. Oh, go over there, Michael Jackson, you know, Madonna. You go see the real stars. I'll hang out over here and write another terrible ballad that nobody wants to listen to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But those are my top five questions or discoveries of you this year as we've gone through the podcast.
Yeah.
I have an asterisk of a denote. It's not a thing, but I will give you credit. When we first started, your first couple episodes, I don't know how long I want to say it, first couple episodes, and I think this is how Weird Al stemmed.
Yeah.
Your research and ability to put together a list was not as strong as it is now.
Yeah.
I don't know what time you put into that or you know, things like that, but it was early on. It was our first, so we're just throwing things against the wind to see what happened. Mm-hmm. So,
no, your wife described it as, I think she said, did you put it into the Etch-a-Sketch?
Yeah, I think there was another one where she said, are you just putting songs in a hat and drawing them? Oh, that's number 10. That's number 9. So
I think that was the episode we did with our wives.
If you could go back to episode 1, would those 10 songs you chose still be the same 10 songs?
Oh, I don't know. I think
most of them were pretty good.
I think I know deep down it would be no. I would probably pick something different. But
all right. You
know, anyway.
Okay.
Well, so I have a similar category.
I
have more than five, though.
Oh,
because I think some of these will talk.
I try not to be too insulting, but yes.
No,
these
are things I learned about you.
Oh, okay.
But we'll also create some conversation. So number one is we mentioned it in the pre-show. You said, when we come into the studio, he looks to create oral magic.
Do you like oral magic?
When you say that, I have to.
That should be a t-shirt.
Nope. I'm here to make
oral magic. That's what you do. Go like that. Oral magic.
Oh, so bad.
That's some of our pre-show.
Yes, and that's why I wanted. That's a good sample of what happens prior.
That's
to
how we loosen up.
Yes, and so there's lots of dialogue that goes back and forth that will never probably see the light of day. But
apparently that did.
Yeah. I also learned that you would never consider yourself somebody that would refer to a woman as little girl.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Either way. I've just never been a person that would refer to a grown woman as little girl.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Yeah, so
like, I can't imagine ever referring to a grown
thing
woman.
Sounds creepy. Like,
it's gross.
Going, hey, listen, little girl.
And the more that I've gone into the 80s music.
And I've listened to a plethora.
There it is.
Oh, plethora.
Of 80s songs now that little I girl like that keeps word. Popping up.
Plethora.
Plethora is good.
That's a good word.
Yeah. You like that
it
word.
It just keeps popping up. Little yeah. girl, too much. I like. And there's that other song. It's one of the hair band songs about she's only 17.
And that came up later.
I say
came
she's
up later.
Too young, but she's old enough for me.
Yeah. Great yeah. Yo-Yo Ma.
Another I will mention is yeah, you had a not just Little Girl, but they also, a bunch of the songs, calling them baby a lot. I also find that to be a little off-putting at times too. So
I also learned that you're not a fan of my buzzer.
That's nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Too aggressive.
I don't want to try and guess. You don't have to hit the end when
you
I
get
answer.
So mad.
Google phones.
Okay.
All right.
The end is if I get a wrong answer, not just random. I didn't even answer it.
You got so mad.
So, well, since you couldn't figure out your computer,
to be fair,
and then you take away
and give us your number
you
one.
You take away my pick.
Actually, you know what?
Whoa.
We're just
change your mind.
Stay out of order. I'm going to go number one.
That's fine.
Well, that way you can't steal it from me.
Well, you were in a thieving mood that day, and I didn't like your buzzer. So
yeah, you got so mad.
As the creative arm of the show, I'm free to go off script at times if I need to.
Yeah, okay. So,
but even the Hound and a couple others have said that was aggressive on the podcast. Like it was really loud in the when you heard it play back.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad we switched off of that.
Yeah, that was your...
I felt like I was on Jeopardy or something.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
You also, what I learned about you is you're a sucker for a nice pair of New York boobs.
Great pair of New York boobs.
A nice set of New York boobs.
She did. The New York boobs were on point.
They were pointy.
They were.
Perfect. Nice set of 80s New York boobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Miss the 80s, man. You and the Hound have no problem jumping in on the 80s New York boobs by the way. You guys love them too.
I like all boobs.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a self-proclaimed, you are the self-proclaimed creative element.
I am.
Being that I am the creative element of this show, I'm just kidding, I'm not. We're both creative. But I was thinking this week, because I like to think, and I thought about an idea for a future
good that you
episode,
like to think.
I do.
Where sometimes. We get our listeners involved.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was, that was the impetus for the listener appreciation episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. I also learned that you care for Martha Quinn a great deal.
No, Martha Quinn.
By the way, just referencing back to the song you were talking about, I care for Martha Quinn a great deal. So that's a good reference. I like that.
Yeah, that's a name I hadn't heard for
I
a long
did like
time.
Her. She was nice. Yeah.
Think about
80s.
Those MTV jockeys where they went.
Probably my favorite VJ.
Probably my favorite VJ.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
I also learned that you like Dude Ranches.
Oh.
The lead singer believes the song sold well because some people assume the lyrics were about masturbation and sadomasochism.
That is correct.
The music video featured members of the band whipping clothing from a woman on a dude ranch.
I like Dude Ranches.
The video became popular on the fledgling television channel.
I've never been on a dude ranch, so I don't even know why I said that. That's probably I was just trying to run the show along. So
yeah, that's all right.
But my only experience with a dude ranch is City Slickers. So if it's like that, I guess it's cool.
I have no experience either. You're a self-proclaimed club rat.
Tony
Braxton's great.
It's not self-proclaimed.
This has a great happen. Fun song to listen to and definitely is added to any 90s playlist that I make. And again, I was a club rat back in the day in 96.
Did you just refer to yourself as a club rat?
I did.
You were not a club rat.
Yeah, we used to go down to... Yeah, I used to spend some time in the clubs.
Yeah. And then you go on to talk about... you were overseas.
I was.
Yeah, and you went...
But I did in Florida, too.
Yeah, You were a club rat.
Same thing.
You don't like to toot your own horn. This is another.
Even so, back in the 80s, making your own tapes, these are artistic endeavors that you have to be good at.
You got to have some intentionality to it.
And I was really good at it.
So yeah, and I think...
Not to toot my own horn.
This next song will prove your theory.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm nothing if not humble. I know that
Fact. So I just want to go on the record as saying, I know you say you don't like to toot your own horn.
Yes.
You love tooting your own horn.
Probably true.
You absolutely love tooting your own horn. And I think there people would agree with me on that.
Okay.
So anyway.
That's fine.
This is an odd one. I'm going to play it and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Well, my lead in is apparently you think I spent time on the docks in Portland. So here, listen to this.
What are you talking about?
I already know.
In your mesh shirt. This is a mesh shirt song right
down
here.
Down on Front Avenue in Portland.
Yeah.
What was it? What was that?
Well, listen,
that,
listen.
What was the place there on front? Up front? Or,
yeah, I don't remember.
Dang it.
Anyway. You spent more time on the docks in Portland than I did.
No,
so,
no, I didn't.
This was released September.
For anyone who's been to Portland,
okay, but
if you're down on the waterfront,
yes,
on a certain part down by the city, a lot of boats, a lot of shipping type stuff going on. So that's why I refer to it as the docks down there on the waterfront.
Okay,
and you're talking about First Street, which is pretty close to the waterfront area.
Right.
Right. So I just imagined you kind of wandering around down there
in a mesh shirt, on the docks. This is the image you have of me.
Well, you
in a mesh shirt on the docks on Front Street in Portland.
You had a little party streak, but when I was gone in the Air Force, it's not totally out of bounds.
Oh, so, no. Yeah. I never wore a mesh shirt in my life. Multiple times in the show, we talked about your sexual experience.
No,
and so we did more times than
no, I can't even.
No, the end's good if I'm remembering everything.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
It's all the places that they've been stroking.
I like that. Yeah, be stroking everywhere.
Before breakfast.
Life is short.
On the couch.
Life is short.
Have you ever made love?
You watch
the late show. The late show. Here it comes.
I have made love watching it. Well, I'm
asking this. And then he gets pulled over by the cops.
I used to try to time.
I'm just joking.
I timed my love making to win Ed McMahon would go, yes.
You are correct, sir.
That's a great time.
By the way,
on the back seat of a car.
I think this is the longest musical clip we've ever
I'm pretty sure.
And I'm going
to. I'm pretty sure Ed McMahon retired long before I was making love to anyone. So that's fine.
Timed your love making to yes.
Yes, you are correct.
This is an interesting one that I didn't know about you, that your youth was not conducive to a flip-flop culture.
Did you ever bust out of one of your flip-flops? One of your thongs?
No, I didn't wear a lot of flip-flops.
You weren't a flip-flop.
I wasn't a big flip-flop kid because I just wore shoes. I did a lot of running and biking, and none of those are conducive to flip-flop culture. And then when I got older, culture. I still wore shoes.
Flip-flop
culture.
We're not conducive
it was not conducive to my lifestyle.
Yeah, I imagine.
There would have been a lot of injuries. My feet would have been all cut up. Remember our bike used to have jagged metal.
I imagine flip-flop culture, why I say that is, kids in Southern California running to and from the beach and all that because it's nice, it's sunny.
Yeah.
We live in Portland. We get 8 sunny days a year. There's no flip-flops happening here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be an adult wearing flip-flops, so that's fine. Good for those that love it. Not that guy. So
I also learned that you are not a fan of Dances with Wolves.
No.
I'm way on
the record on that.
Because the lady just doesn't die in the movie. So, look, I understand why it's Oscar-worthy. I understand all those parts. But for me, it's like Dances with Wolves. It's just intolerable to watch. It's long, it's boring.
You're not a Dances with Wolves fan?
Horrible movie. And that winning Best Picture over Goodfellas is just another day conversation altogether. So I just don't need an 8-hour film of watching Kevin Costner ride around on a horse looking for wolves.
That's true. I hate that movie a lot.
There you go.
So
I thought that was, I don't know that I agree with it, but it was very well said.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
And the last thing I learned about you is that you are in a group chat with Peebo, JT, and Scott Bakula.
That is a team right there.
Tough.
They should do a duo. Imagine if Bette Midler and Ice?
No.
She carries the harmonies. He does the bridge with a rap.
That sounds like something.
I think they should make that happen.
All right. Let's send him a message.
You should get on your chat with old
Peebo
and JT and see. I don't know people.
All right. They probably do. I don't know if they know Vanilla Ice, but we can ask the question.
I bet they do.
All right.
I bet they run in the same circles.
It's possible.
Yeah. He probably built their house. He was like a contractor.
He is a contractor.
All right. Here's
number six.
A couple more for you. You don't like mattress stores with stupid names.
I also put in my notes here. Metallica should open up a chain of mattress discount stores and name it Nothing Else Mattress.
That sucks. But good job for you. I don't like mattress stores with stupid names. The Lumbar Yard or any of those kinds of
there you go.
All right. Well, we're headed.
Weird thing to not enjoy, right?
I guess. That you are a big fan of the Goots.
Now, isn't the Gutenberg like in the that movie?
Yeah. Ali Sheedy, that's Stephen Gutenberg. So, yeah.
I'll watch
any Astoria. Movie. It was filmed in Astoria. Yeah.
So. I'll watch any movie with the Goots. So Gutenberg was
he is great, though. I mean,
so, yeah, he
always watch.
Yeah, it, I don't know if you heard that. You said he's an 80s powerhouse.
Yes. I mean, go look at the movie lineup. Cocoon, Police Academy, Three Men and a Baby.
And the thing I learn the most about you is that you like a good booty jam.
I call this a straight booty song. Anytime you listen to Keith Sweat,
you're looking for booty song.
Yeah, you're looking for booty when you listen to Keith Sweat. That's not a wedding song. And if it is your wedding song, I'm going to guess that's going to be a short marriage.
Now you're giving marital advice.
You put on Keith Sweat, there's only one action, and that's not everlasting. But yeah, Keith Sweat, twisted, solid.
I want to start taking track of how many times you say booty songs.
That might be the only.
It better be the only time.
No.
Well, it wasn't the only time.
It was not.
It came up
lots of times.
A lot of.
You know why? Because booty jams are a thing. So that's why. They're 100% a thing. So.
Oh, but anyway,
they should come up as much as often as possible.
Yeah. So those are some things I learned about you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I also have a little section here.
One is of the this things, continuing the David roast over here? Is this
well, it's kind of like a roast, but here is one of the things that we did on the show that I didn't know. We gave advice.
We did.
And sometimes it was advice. Sometimes it were just very.
You give advice too, by the way. A lot of times in your openings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. So I'm on here. So here we go. Yeah. So you've already mentioned it, but. This is Beauty and the Beast. I even said that earlier. That I was going to do that.
You did say that earlier, but God, I'm saying it
you
now.
You did two Peebos?
I mean, two Peebos are better than one. I mean,
he will.
Two Peebos are better than
that's
one.
That's the line of the day right there.
He will
two Peebos
this.
Are better than
yes,
one.
Yeah, he will right. appreciate yeah. this in our yeah. two Peebos are better than yeah. one.
We also learned that it's possible that penises are like snowflakes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'm obviously not a purveyor of penises.
Yeah.
But I would imagine they're different. They're like snowflakes, I think, right? They're not all the same.
I think so.
I'm going to go with your expertise on this.
Yeah.
See, the movie hound deferred quick on that one.
Yeah, he didn't want any part of it.
He said, I want out of this conversation right now. So.
Yeah. I'm going to let this play. It speaks for itself.
All right.
No one said that shouldn't be on the radio.
Turn that off.
No.
Wow.
Well, touching yourself is probably better than touching others. You can't get anything bad from touching yourself.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, I believe that was in reference to I touch myself by the divinals.
The divinals, yes.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that's
a poignant response, I think.
I'm not downing it. So,
that's good.
This is one is a little more obscure, but if you ever see anything in the sky, it's probably
my
good.
My number six is from the self-proclaimed best band of the 90s or ever. I don't know.
Who came
Champagne
up a lot?
Supernova by Oasis. Yes. That's not a question.
Oh, yeah. Why did I say that?
I don't know.
It's such a strange song.
I knew what it sang it.
It is a strange song. It means a Champagne Supernova.
What is a Champagne Supernova?
I don't know, but it's in the sky. So it's got to be good.
You really like
that. So this released 13 May 96.
You mention it a lot.
And finally,
because I said, I don't know, but it's in the sky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the sky. I don't know what else to say. But sixth and final single from What's the Story, Morning Glory was the band's second.
I can't explain, but that just seemed like the right answer.
And I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying, I think this is a collection of pieces of advice. This one here is more on my end.
Oh, good.
What some advice. When the five roll by.
Oh.
You got to file that away. Think about that. And most importantly, number nine, stay sucker free and keep the busters off the jock.
Nice.
There you go. So,
you sound like you shouldn't say that, but that's okay. You know who knows more about running with a gang? Two white boys from Milwaukee, Oregon.
Yeah,
definitely
right.
Know nothing about running with gangs.
Yeah. Nobody going to be tripping.
No. And nope. Again, I don't know if we can sell tripping, but we're saying it.
All right.
All right. Well anyway. I don't like people that front either.
Yeah, no fronting.
Keep the fronters away from
that's
me.
Right.
Keep fronters? I don't know if anybody says fronters, but I'm making it if it's not a thing.
And keep the busters off your jock.
Yes. Too many jocks in this one. So, well, that's a solid hello.
What are we doing on that?
We're just wandering around there. So that was a good one.
The movie hound gets in one here. He gives us some info.
That way, Kurt, Rob, and I can get into everyone's ears. That's our goal, to get into all the ears. Right. Mm. Kurt, that sounds all right?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Right?
Into everybody's ears.
Penetrate.
Right in the ear hole.
I want to penetrate the drums.
Got a hole, got to penetrate.
Con style. Yeah?
Did he say,
got a hole, got to penetrate? That's good.
Yep.
Con style.
Whoa. Yep. So that hole, I believe if I read that right, it's you got a hole, got to penetrate. So I thought that was
pretty good.
It's good info.
And that's good.
So here's you gave some advice on what to do if you're making out with an old lady.
There's hot naked ladies in the rooms.
They're not
that
hot.
Old, that turn their old flesh. And moldy.
Yeah, old and moldy. Look, no. you when you start making out, close your eyes. You know what's happening next. So envision you still got the hot old lady and not the one.
The first lady had a nice set of New York boobs.
She did. The New York boobs were on point.
They were pointy.
They were.
A nice perfect. Set of 80s. The New York boobs come in again.
Yeah. Missed the 80s, man. Gosh. 80s, 80s boob shots are the best.
Are the best.
There you go.
Yep. This is another one that came from the movie Hound.
You want to do the Watusi or maybe the mashed potato?
Yeah, can you name the 16 dances that were...
Oh, my goodness. I can't name them all.
There's a mashed potato. The
mashed potato.
Phony Maroni or something?
It is the Watusi.
Watusi.
The pony, the chicken, nice. The mashed potato, the alligator.
Do they do the twist?
The twist, the fly, twist the jerk, the tango, the yo-yo, the sweet pea, and the hand jive, the slop, the bop, the fish, and the Popeye.
the slop, the bop, the fish.
What do you think the slop is? I think the slop is whatever John Candy's doing.
If you don't know, you can't afford it.
That's right.
There you go.
No ZJ for you.
There you go. The advice there is if you don't know, you can't afford it.
Can't afford it.
If you don't know, you can't afford it.
That's right.
This is one of your more clever pieces of advice. It's not really advice, but it's a very pithy saying, and I think
okay.
Yeah.
You're excited. I am jumping in. It's really good.
We haven't talked about our over and under.
Yeah, what do you think that's going to be?
I don't know.
Well, we listen to a lot of these same kind of songs, so there's definitely a chance for some crossover.
Right. And this is Slaughter.
Slaughter.
Oh. Up All Night.
You know, you can't spell laughter without slaughter. Okay. So I just... First of all, I would like to correct myself.
You heard that somewhere.
No, yeah. I just thought about it. So I was looking at the word and I said, okay. From a grammatic standpoint, I kind of misspoke there. I said you can't have slaughter. I said you can't have laughter without slaughter.
Uh-huh.
Reverse that. Well, Willy Wonka, that thing. You can't have slaughter without laughter. Okay. Because laughter is the whole word without the S.
Yeah.
So I did reverse a little bit. The idea was solid.
Yeah, it
was but solid. I did misquote it a little bit. Gives me a chance to rectify that.
Yeah. So there you go. I have a ton of I have put together a montage of your my favorite impressions.
Let's hold on for that, right?
Yeah.
So I put a couple little categories together. I think you're going to like these. These are fun. So I went with, we talked about our favorite bands, music. We did a lot of music because we love music. And so I put on here worst song of the year. I chose what I think we played as our worst song. I'm going to play what took second place because I really wanted this to be the worst song badly because of how truly awful.
Okay.
It is, but there was one song that was just a little worse than it. So it came in second place. And if I can get my computer to work I will cue it up. But we both agreed when hearing this song, you were also very distasteful of it. and so that's a win if I can get both of us on the same page at the same time. So I really wanted this to be number one. But.
Oh.
Listen to when he screams. He's not hitting that note. Right there. That's bad. Wait, hold on. I want you to wait a second because there's a very good guitar solo here that I think you may think is underrated. That I think I've isolated.
Poor Michael Smith. Poor Michael Smith.
It's about right here.
Wow.
I told you. That is probably as bland and organic of a guitar solo I've ever heard in my life. But however, that did not get number one. There was one song that it came up multiple times on the show despite its horribleness. And it may roll over a little in 2024. I'm going to play it for you and see if you remember it. So.
You think this is the worst?
The worst song. Yeah, I mean, listen to it. It's bad. It's so generic. But we start singing it. That. I don't know. To me, it's the most generic 90s song I've ever heard in my life. Like, I just can't. And it's now third or fourth appearance on our show. So yeah. That, for me, took home worst song of the year. You can have your opinions on it. So, but on top of doing worst song of the year, I also did best song of the year. And again, these are my opinions. I did not consult you. I made the choice for both of us.
Yeah.
So it was tough. We covered a lot of really good music this year.
Yeah.
Pinning down one was actually pretty crazy, crazy hard. I spent days on this.
I know.
Ultimately, I picked one that I know we both really like and reminds us a lot of being younger. But again, I have a number two that was really close. Like, I jockeyed back and forth. Let's see if I can cue that up. But it was really close because it was a song that we both like. It was the only song of the year on any countdown we did that we both chose it as our number one choice. We had many crossovers during the year, but this was the only song that we both unanimously listed at number one, and it wasn't even a question.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we were both very happy about it. We had a lot of great things to say about this song.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Hurt my feelings to leave that at number two. To leave it at number two. But number one, I think you'll agree that number one, this only popped up. And actually, you and I didn't even select this song at any time during the year. Huh? This came off our listeners' episode, but we were both pretty emphatic on how much we enjoyed it and liked it. So it definitely, and you can let it play for a little bit because it's got some goodness to it. So for us, if you listen to this episode, we were both like, I think I said something like, this might be the best song of the 90s. And you're like, yep, there's an argument to be made there.
Yeah. And I think I talked about how this song for me was kind of the...
It was your intro to alternative music.
Yeah.
And are you hearing these two?
It's really good.
I love duets. This might be one of the best duets ever, too.
Yeah. Mm. That's really cool.
So Hunger Strike, Temple of the Dog, that is our song of the year for our show. I also had Beastie Boys came up a couple times for me, and I had STP in there a couple times because we talked about them quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I just think Hunger Strike, from our age and what it was a meaningful song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our number one song of the year for the show.
And, I love it.
Again, I consulted no one, so I'm making that decision on behalf of both of us. So,
well, you are the creative element.
I am.
Well, I want to go through some of our... I have 24 impressions. I'm going to read through them.
Oh, goodness.
I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to tell you.
Okay.
Here are the celebrities that were impersonated on our show.
Attempted to be an impersonator.
This is true.
I am not. I'm not an impersonator by trade.
Aaron Neville, Scott Stapp, the lead singer of the B-52s.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando, Harry Carey.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
That's right.
Paul Hogan, Pee Wee Herman, Sylvester Stallone, Jack Burton, played by Kurt Russell. Poe from
Con Air. Yeah.
Sean Connery. Tom Hanks. Samuel L. Jackson. Pollux from
Face Off. Yeah.
Pacino three times.
Ooh, good.
Alan Rickman. Louis Anderson. Some old guy saying, "Stop calling my phone." Arnold Schwarzenegger. English gentleman.
Yes.
Another old man.
Nice.
The go to the light lady from the Poltergeist.
Nice.
Keanu Reeves, Jack Nicholson, and what I just put teacher.
Oh, okay.
Teacher impression. Yeah.
A teacher impression.
But I want to play a couple because it's worth people hearing. So as people listen to this and they go, oh, this is a good sample, I'm going to go listen to that. So this is your...
So we try that all the time.
Everyone does Aaron Neville.
Not everybody does Aaron Neville. No.
Everyone has an Aaron Neville impression.
No. Here's another example of pre-show.
Oh, okay.
This is you doing Scott Stapp from Creed.
You can just do that and sing like him.
Not. That's not that great.
That's not good enough. And then you go into another song. This is even. This has to play out. You have to listen to it.
Yeah. Everyone will know the song.
That's a pre-show. That's how I warm up.
Something. Oh, yeah.
I think we've had as much as Scott's time as we need.
Nope. There's another song.
Nope. There's no more
songs. You take a pause.
What's that other song?
There it is.
Hello, my friends. We meet
Yeah, that's what he says.
I think that's the same song.
Yeah.
They all sound the same.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's bad.
Scott's Tap. It was good.
It's not that great. Yeah.
Then you coached me a little bit.
Oh, okay.
We had Marlon Brando. We had Harry Carey. We had Paul Hogan. We had Pee Wee Herman. We had Sylvester Stallone. You coached me through it
a little bit.
Yeah.
So he says, you're the disease.
It's our third episode.
Perfect.
He says, this is where the law ends and I begin.
You got to say it. This is where the law ends and I begin. You got to say it like Stallone.
You have the right to remain
silent.
There
you go. That's how it is.
We're the and then he's having, with Brian Thompson, the Night Slasher, he's having this dialogue. And the Night Slasher says, we're the future. And he says, your history. And then he shuts
it's the actually really, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Actually came through pretty good on that one.
Yeah, I don't usually do them.
You don't.
I will, you talked about how we do an attempt on some of them. This is probably one.
Who would be General Hummel in that sequence?
Let's go Tom Hanks.
That's odd.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
he could play serious.
Could you hear him
maybe Bruce Willis
lines?
Oh, Bruce Willis.
Have no idea. We were running Black Ops into China. No, I don't see that.
I don't know
if that's a good time. I'm imagining him. He gets a little whiny at times.
I just imagine him,
you know.
And then Pacino comes in multiple times. So we got three bits here. They're put together.
Okay.
Pacino and like De Niro into this.
Oh, totally.
Take them from Heat and put them into this. Remember in Heat when Pacino's like, she's got a great ass, right? Imagine that energy turning into Archer.
Oh, yeah.
Papa's got a brand new bag, right?
That's pretty good.
It's just going to be like 0 to 100.
Not that great.
Okay. Then we got another Pacino here.
Another good Cyrus. Pacino. Like he's like Sai Anara. Like he would deliver those. He would deliver those perfectly.
Yeah. Take a flamethrower to this fight.
You know, my daddy taught me nothing. Yeah. It'd be a totally different event in the movie, but I think it could take it up to 11.
Yeah.
Right? So,
so what do you? And then we got one more.
Oh. You know what? I could put Pacino in pose role too, and just be like, "Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?" Pacino could liven this thing up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Pacino livens a lot of things up quite a bit.
And then we got two more for you that have to be shared.
I gotcha.
Is your dinner date with Arnold?
Oh yeah,
this is good.
Back is an all-time catchphrase. And we love Arnold, do we not? It'll always.
We don't have the same.
We don't? Great.
No.
I'll always love being taken back to my number one song, which is, of course.
Great song.
You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses. Love it. You've ever gone, huh?
Love it.
And what better combo than Arnold and Guns N' Roses in the early 90s? Match made in heaven. Fun fact, Rob. Arnold had the band over to his house for dinner in California to negotiate use of the song in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Imagine that evening. Welcome to my house. Axel, use it over here. Slash, use it over here. What are we eating, Arnold? We're having chicken. What do you think we're eating? Chicken and rice. I have to go to the gym.
Chicken and rice.
Can you imagine? I just want
to. He has like a little pony running
around. I just want to be a fly on the wall at that dinner
I ask you, hey, I need to use this song for my movie. I'm so happy you flew out to California.
California. That's my favorite part.
That's good. Okay.
And then apparently we turned into English gentlemen.
That's right.
I can hear your server right now. Gentlemen, do you have everything you need? Oh, your chicken's on your face. That's
right. It is delicious. So thank you. I'll have another.
Now leave us alone. And then we have another one.
Had to try a little harder. Need to come up with a genius plan to make out.
There you go. That requires some that requires some genius brains.
He's good at research, but not coming up with the initial
once
plan.
Once I open my mouth, they're like, oh, right. Next.
Old Borophil over here can't figure out how to make out with me.
That's true. That's true. Why are the lights off? It's awfully dark in here. Nobody can see what they're doing.
That's right.
We're going to get
hurt. I can't find the remote control. How am I turning the radio up or the TV? What are we doing?
Preposterous.
Apparently, when you were in high school, you became an English gentleman. Yes. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, that's a true statement.
Interesting. Good. Like he that talks really normal, and then as soon as he gets at home with the lady, he's like, "Welcome to my abode. Yeah.
Let me put on my smoking jacket. We shall go to the parlor."
I don't know where this went.
I would say again. Yeah, that is 100% right. What is going on there? All right, that's fine.
Yeah. And then this is the last one that I'll do.
Yeah.
Is You referenced the episode that one of your favorite episodes was our most recent one, and that was the Christmas Story.
Nice.
And this is, we all get in on this one. This is our feeble attempt.
Yes.
At Jack Nicholson.
Feeble. Outside of Peter Billingsley, what do we think of the cast in this movie? Everybody
really
else
good.
Seems to fit, really right?
Good. They did
a good job.
Yep. I like
so it. The dad is the dad. Mm-hmm. I did read that they actually wanted Jack Nicholson
I read
to
that.
Play the dad. How would that have gone? That would have been awful.
He would have been a little scary.
Yeah. Imagine The Shining, a Christmas Story, like breakfast.
Here's the old man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a major award.
Yeah. It's a major award. You used all the glue on purpose.
Not a finger.
Not a finger. When you see me in
and by the way, there would have been no flipping flapping. That would have been a straight F-bomb and everything else going down to that. Damn furnace.
yes.
I just don't see. I just think it's too.
Freeze in the middle of summer.
It's too intimidating. Like when he's out in the street and he's like, "What you got there?" And he goes, "Can't you see it's a major award?"
Well, I just thought it was a lamp.
But that guy wouldn't have said that because if you said it like Nicholson, major award, the dude would have been like,
"You nincompoop.
Cool, man.
I'm going back inside.
I'm going back in the house. Have fun with that."
Lord.
So, by the way, there is a. I actually like in that, it's not that a clip, but we talk about how he kills the Bumpus's dogs.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "We won't see those dogs anymore." That's pretty good. I like that part.
Yeah, I saw the dog.
Yeah. Oh. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So, there's that's
kind of some of our meandering.
Yep. Meandering is a good phrase. Meandering. Yep.
No one's ever accused us of not going off on a tangent.
No.
At times.
No.
So we can definitely wander. No. So a couple of the things I learned this year, your wife doesn't like when we start the show with, a curse word or an aggressive statement. She thinks it's too early. Like we got to warm them up before we start dropping F-bombs. Cause I think like in The Great Outdoors, I use a quote that's a little, it's off the wall, but relative to the movie.
Yeah.
And I think an exact quote was, "Did he have to start the show that way?" And we said, "Yes, we did."
Well, 100%. And I might have shared it on the show before, but my wife has her morning routine. She and I can get a straight shot of her when we're in the morning, and she's in the bathroom. She's putting her makeup on, and she will listen to our on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. She listens to the episode. She's got props up her phone, and she does her makeup, and I can see her, and I know what's coming. Because I know the episode, and so I kind of know the areas that will trigger her, and so then I watch her to see, and I can tell usually we get the reply that or response that I thought we'd get.
But there you go.
She's been good for us because she is I think our wives both have been good for us because they bring a different perspective,
I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Yeah. So, but I can always tell my wife's opinion of our show because she'll come home. She goes, "I listened to the episode."
Yeah,
I'll be like, "Oh, how was it?" If she pauses for a second, goes, "This is good." she was like, "Yeah, I didn't."
Yeah.
And then other times, "Oh, it's really funny. I really like that one." So I get that again. Yeah. If I get a pause with it was good.
Yeah.
And then when she likes it, she'll actually cite examples. The most recent one, our Christmas songs one a couple episodes ago, she said, I don't make you listen to it 74 times, the Charlie Brown, but I counted and I think it's the right number.
See, my wife did that on the country music one.
Yeah.
She was, because I made some comments about.
You did make some
comments. That, like, she wanted me to have Shania Twain or something like that. And she was like, I did not to have Shania Twain.
Well, they've become part of the show whether they like it or not. So it's just that is the price of being the wives of two famous podcasters, right? So.
Right.
But, that is a heck of a recap. Yeah. I think we covered a lot of stuff. Yeah. Obviously, we're not going to get the whole show in, 65 hours of content. Mm-hmm. But I think we hit a lot of things, got some funny things. We're narcissistic fools. We're over here laughing at our own stuff over and over. Hopefully, they'll find it funny again out there in old listener land. That'll be a good time. So, well, before we close this episode, we'd just like to throw out a few thank yous for our first year. First and foremost, Rob was just alluding to it, our wives, for their valuable input. They are our best cheerleaders and sometimes critics. But almost everything they've told us has helped the show.
Yeah.
And we love their overall support of Rob and I's venture into mainstream popularity.
Yeah.
Honestly, my wife has made several suggestions during the year. I've adjusted scripts. I've done some things. And she was right.
Yeah.
She loves hearing that. So here you are.
Yeah.
To the wife, you were right. You made some great suggestions during the year. I took them. I didn't always take them super positive the first time, but I did take them and I did work on it. So we'd also like to thank all of our friends of the show, particularly Aubrey and the Movie Hound Kurt for their contributions this year. They came on the episode. Our wives were on an episode. So they've been great and supportive. They listened. They helped us out at the beginning. Also gave us some input on good, bad, indifferent, things like that. So we've got some podcasting friends we've made through this year, Generation Rewind. We talk with him quite often, Sean, and we have a good time with him. Pop Culture Yearbook, Children of the 80s, and Bad Movies Rule, and The Mixtape, with some several others. But those shows in particular, they talked to us throughout the year. They reached out. They gave us some positive feedback, and they played our trailer a few times. Yeah. So it was good. And we've appreciated the support and friendship. It's made creating the podcast even more fun because I didn't really expect to talk to other people.
No.
And that was it. To all of our listeners and YouTube subscribers around the world, because Rob shows me the stats and people around the world listen, thank you so much for your support. We still, we say it all the time, we can't believe sometimes.
Yeah.
Just how many countries our show lands in. Special shout outs to friends of the show, Australia, New Zealand. I've cited you many times throughout the year, but we don't forget you. And France, I still love you, even though you hate all the music. That's fine. So, and finally, to Kip and the boys in the booth, our research teams, we could definitely operate without you, but it's a lot of fun to watch you try help us out all year. You've jacked us up with several sound problems. Yeah. The internet's gone down. Whatever we're paying Kip, we should, you know, get that money back. I think sometimes, he doesn't like that, but that's fine. No. We're going to let that go. Hopefully, Rob and I, as we close this out, our hope is going into 2024, we can bring you some more laughs, more entertainment, because as of right now, we're not going anywhere and no one can kick us off anything. So we're just going to stay.
Yeah.
we're like, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? It's in that thing where he's like, I'm not leaving.
I'm not going.
Yep. Not going anywhere. So, so that's my sum up for the year. Thanks to everyone. Lots of shout outs.
Yeah.
Again, the wives, very supportive. They've helped us out. I do remember though, I was telling everybody, hey, Rob and I are going to start a podcast. And Kurt and them and even my kids were like, oh, cool. That sounds cool. And I told my wife, hey, we're going to start an 80s, 90s podcast. Yeah. And she goes, what?
Yeah.
That was her first reaction. And I go, oh, way to be super positive about it. She goes, oh, I just don't understand. I was like, I don't know what's not to understand. Where'd this idea come from?
Yeah.
Right. That's what she thought. So
that's all right.
And then she complains, it just takes up your whole life. And what are you going to do? Right. So.
Yeah.
Because now I get the angry, are you recording this weekend or when are you recording next? So,
well, I was pulling
plan our life around you recording. Yes. I'm like, okay.
I was pulling all my sound clips for this episode. And my wife said, you're spending a lot of time over there. I was like, it took a while, but
yeah, it did.
It's fun. I could be doing a lot worse.
I will say sorry, not sorry.
Hashtag not sorry.
That's what I'll say. That's right. Sorry, not sorry.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I'll say the sorry so that she goes, okay, but I'm not really sorry. So that's fine. Now that's out in the world for everyone. So. Well, if you like Totally 80s and 90s Recall, because we hope you do, and you never want to miss it, take a second after this episode to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. And if you want to be really cool, share it with a friend you know is into the 80s and 90s just as much as you. Or hey, use the Rob and Dave experience as a way to introduce them, a bridge, if you will, to all things from these two great decades. If you'd like to contact us, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all social media sites. Really, you just go in and Google Totally 80s, 90s Recall. You'll find us everywhere. We're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on TikTok, Instagram, you name it. It's all in the show notes. You can go find it there. You can email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com. We have a website. Again, Google that. You'll find us out there. On any of those stops, you can ask us questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello and tell us how wonderful we are. We never get tired of hearing that. But we look forward to all of it and talking with every one of our listeners. So please contact the show whenever you feel froggy.
Nice.
Froggy's a word.
I guess so. Hey, yeah. I want to read a closing quote. This is from a gal. Her name is Jessie Konweiler. She's an American actress, writer, comedian, film director, and YouTube personality. She says, "Do not take the creative process personally. At every stage, you're going to feel like it's all falling apart. Like the golden egg of truth is your brain is not manifesting in your brain is not manifesting on the page or on the set or in the edit. But that panic, that loss, that pain, that is the process of creation. Let it hurt, drink some coffee, and keep going." Yes. And I just thought that's what I've learned from this process, and I thought it was really well. So,
all right. That's a great quote. Good job.
Yeah.
And I like that you cited the person, so you don't leave me on the hook over here, and I go, "Did you write that?" No. I always wait for a Rob original, but I don't get it. Maybe in 2024 you can pen an original.
I'll pen some original stuff.
That'll be exciting. There you go. Well, that brings us to the end of our first ever recap episode. We hope you've enjoyed a look back at the first year of this podcast. Rob and I have a lot of exciting show ideas for the upcoming year, so you can look forward to us continuing to take you back in time to remember how great the 80s and 90s were, and honestly, still are. Oh, and by the way, the sound clips I played today, some of the songs I chose for our best and worst songs of the year and some of our others, we'll put that playlist out on Spotify, perfect, Apple, perfect. Amazon. You can listen to some of those if you want to go back and relive them. And finally, don't forget to tune in to brand new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday. We're always here. Never fail.
Never fail. Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
What's our homework for next time?
Homework for next time. Starting off the year strong.
That's right.
Music, our, category of our favorite category, if you will. We're doing a Billboard Hot 100 for 9 January 1994. We're going back exactly 30 years. And little rules here. I get to choose from the top 50 this time.
Did you say 94?
94.
It's 30 years.
30 years.
Oh, that's a crazy town.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I get to choose my songs from the top 50. So this time I get the creme de la creme and you get the bottom 50.
Oh, that's fair.
So
that's fair.
Because we did it in reverse last time.
That's fair.
We'll see who comes out with the best playlist. We already know the answer, but we will pretend we're going to come out with the best playlist. Yeah, so
that's fair. That's fair.
This is normally where I ask you, do you have anything else?
And
you always say, I got nothing.
I've got nothing.
That is your go-to phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I say fancy goodbye.
And I say no fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbyes. Real quick, before we end it, just to throw in there, folks.
Yeah.
That phrase, which has become our sign-off phrase, on the first episode, it said in the script, Rob, write a fancy goodbye. To which he just bailed out and said, no fancy goodbye.
I don't have a fancy goodbye.
So that, however, it's become our signature sign off and it will never go away. So just to make it official. You got anything else, Rob?
No.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbye. Peace out.
So that was it. We get to relive ourselves.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Laughing at our own.
Too much at myself. People are going to be like, look at this idiot. We know who he thinks is.